Usually, most of the time, the Chumash doesn't give us the reason for the mitzvahs. Sometimes the reasons are obvious, sometimes they're not so obvious. A few rare cases, the Torah gives us the reason. So the Gemara has a machlekes hatanoim, how to translate the words of the pasuk. Kippah sukkah soshavtim means sukkahs mamish, little huts that we sit in. Sukkahs means anani kovid, and we sit in a suk, we sit in a sukkah, little hut, to be reminiscent of the anani kovid. So it's very strange. The Torah is a sefer halacha, and the Torah quotes this question among the Tanoim, and the Torah takes a stand on the machlokes haTanoim. It's not negei lahalacha al pi pashtus. He says when we sit in sukkah, we're supposed to have in mind anani hakovet. So the commentaries on the Torah ask, why does he take a stand on this? This is an agadita. It's a good question. What's pshat in the chumash? But it's not negei lahalacha. It doesn't have any nafkaminas. So the Bach has a famous comment on the side of the tour. He says, apparently the tour must be of the opinion whenever the Chumash, there's a machlokes where the mitzvah sichas kavon, the mitzvah saint sichas kavon. And machlokes are we paskin, and hilchas kriyashma, and simon samach, whether we paskin mitzvah sichas kavon or not, and the Magen Avraham paskins like the Ramban, that mitzvahs deraisa hachra, mitzvahs deraisa need kavana, mitzvahs derabbanan ain't tzrichas kavana, because they're two different sugyas. The sugya in the end of Psochim, the last perkum Psochim, discusses mara bizman hazeh, which is only with the rabbanan, and the sugya in brachas discusses kriyashma. So Tosis in Psochim points out that the Gemara brings different rayas in each mesifta. Why don't they put everything all together? Because they're two unrelated shilas. The sugya and brachas discuss the mitzvahs deraisa, where they need kavana. The sugya and psochim discuss the mitzvahs derabbanan, and there's room to distinguish between the two. So the Ramban taka distinguishes. Ramban thinks that mitzvahs deraisa need kavana, and mitzvahs derabbanan don't need kavana. But what does mean kavana? So kavana means kavana lotzeis. That's all. Just have in mind that you're performing a mitzvah. You don't have to have kavana for the tam ha-mitzvah. So the Bach points out that the Torah apparently is of the opinion that whenever the Chumash writes the reason for the mitzvah, it tells you do this mitzvah for this and this consideration, that the kavana for the tam ha-mitzvah is ma'akev. So that's why the Torah has to take a stand on the machlokes haTanaim. What kavana he's supposed to have? So he said that's the pshat he's supposed to have in mind. This is zecher l'anani ha-kovid. Some achrayim want to say that perhaps it does have enough gemina l'dina. The Gemara in Sukkah has another machlokes haTanaim. Is it okay, let's say I plan to go with my wife, we have 9 children, so we plan to go, and 3 of the children live in the New York area, so we plan to go the first day sukkah is by one child, the last day sukkah is by another child, and Shabbos Chol Moed by a third child. So that's a machlokes haTanaim, is that acceptable or not? So half of that, some of the Tanaim are of the opinion, you're not yotzei the mitzvah unless you sit in the sukkah all 7 days in the same sukkah. If you see a hap, you skip from one sukkah to the other, you're not becoming the mitzvah at all. That's not the accepted opinion. Shulchan Aruch Paskin, you can be yotzei misukkah lesukkah, there's no problem. So some achrayim understood that machlok, the Gemara doesn't explain what the issue is, whether you can eat some of the meals in one sukkah and eat some of the meals in the other sukkah. Some people are going to spend, we did sometime, spend half a sukkah in Eretz Yisrael and half the sukkahs in America. You're not going to take the sukkah with us, a totally different sukkah. So some achrayim want to say that's the shaila. That shaila depends on this question. If it's zechel anani hakovet, so it's the same anani hakovet all the 40 years, protecting the Jewish people. But if it's zechel sukkahs, kibas sukkahs hoshavti sukkahs mamish, so the achrayim assume they probably didn't schlep the sukkah from one place to the other. When the Jews were traveling in the Midbar in the beginning of Parshas Maaseh Litzvah, the Membeis Masoes, the 42 different locations where they stopped. So to make a sukkah, it's not worth it to carry the material from one village to the other. You go to the new village, you break down a couple of branches, you make a new sukkah over there. So they assume that if it's zechel sukkahs mamish, then you can sit in a different sukkah each day of sukkahs. But if it's zechel anani hakovid, it has to be the same one sukkah. If you say like that, that's why some achrayim came to the conclusion that we should pass like that opinion. Because the Torah accepted the view of zechel anani hakovid, And that should lead you to believe that you have to sit all the days of Sukkot in the same Sukkot. Some Achronim say you should follow that opinion. But that's, we don't pass in the Shulchan Aruch like that. The Psak HaMekubal in the Shulchan Aruch is that that you can eat some of the meals in one Sukkot, some of the meals in the other Sukkot, and does not pose a problem. There is a Machlokes HaTanoim whether Sukkah has to be Dafke Diras Keva or Dafke Diras Aroi. 98% of the Sukkahs in the world are good. According to the Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, that a Sukkah has to be Diras Keva. So he views all the Sukkahs that we use, they're all Diras Keva. And the Chachamim hold just the reverse, that a Sukkah has to be Dafke Diras Aroi. So they all agree that 98% of the Sukkahs are good. The Chacham hold because the Diras Aroi. Rabbi Yehuda says because of Diras Keva. But if you have a Sukkah that's clearly Diras Keva, then the Chachamim will passel. So that's one of the three reasons given on the first daf in Sukkah. Why, if the Schach is Lamayla Meser Mam, it's very rare. I've never seen such a Sukkah. Meser Mam has to be very, very high. No Meshuggah, no crackpot is going to make a Sukkah. It's going to be Lamayla Meser Mam. I remember when Ramaz put up their new building and they put up a Sukkah on the roof. The Rabbi Luchstein was so concerned, he called me in the middle of the day, I have to come to take a look at the Sukkah. He thinks that the Schach is too high. It was very high, but it was nowhere near Eser Mama, so that he knew. But he was concerned about a different thing, because he showed me that they put a mat on top of the a kosher mat, that's kosher for Schach. So it had a lot of holes in it, but if you have the mat in your hand, you see that it's tzilosa meruba mechamosa. The holes were less than 50%, and the schach was way more than 50%. However, the Gemara points out that the sun, when it shines down, spreads out. So the schach, because it was so high, it was nowhere near 20 amas. It wasn't the ma'ala mes ma'ama at all. But because the schach was so much higher than the floor of the roof where the people were sitting in the sukkah, so the sun was shining in, and when you sat on the floor of the sukkah, there was no shade at all. In the middle of the day, 12 o'clock, there was no shade. Everything was all full of sun. So that was the shaila. So there's an Orach HaShulchan who writes the wrong din over here. The Gemara said the Pharisee that it's kosher. So the Orach HaShulchan writes that it's no good. I remember once I was, one summer, there's a two-volume biography of Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky. I think it's called Melech Biofio Techazeno, something like that. He was a very princely man. So they described the way he was, Becheskel Abramsky, when he was a teenager, someone convinced him that he should go learn in Navardic. He didn't realize that the fellow who convinced him was salaried by Navardic Yeshiva to recruit students. He thought he was giving him a good etzah. He didn't realize that this was that was his job. So he listened to him and he went to learn in the Navardic. But they don't explain why, instead of learning in the Beis Medrash, he learned in the Shul. So the Orach HaShulchan at that time was the rabbi in the Navardic, and he was sitting and writing his Orach HaShulchan. So Rabbi Cheskel Abramsky told over the way the practice would be. He would sit and write and write and write and write and write, and once in a long while he would take out a Gemara, take out a Rambam, look something up. So if he's writing everything from memory, so you can make a lot of mistakes. So I remember once I was, that summer that I was reading that biography, I only read the first two volumes. I borrowed the first volume from somebody. I never got to read the second volume. So I was sitting next to someone at a Malava Malka, and I mentioned that I'm reading this book, and I asked like that. So the fellow tells me, no wonder there are mistakes in the Orach HaShulchan. If he wrote everything from memory, so I said, why, what mistakes? He tells me this same Orach HaShulchan that I thought was wrong. He said, it's against the Gemara. He tells me that. He said, against the Gemara. He thought he was seeing things. He said he went, this was 15 years ago. He told me that this happened 20 years before. He asked Rabbi Yashiv. Yashiv said, yeah, it's against the Gemara. It's Beferish Adin in the Gemara. That even if there's no shade at all on the ground, as long as the Schach is more than 51% is Schach, and less than 50% is the empty holes, even though by the time the sun rays come down on the floor of the sukkah, they expanded, and there's no shade at all, that's kosher. So there's a machlokes hatanoim, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanim. The din is that in order to be chayv in mezuzah, you have to have a diras keva. If you only have a diras aroi, that's a, have a house, And some of the rooms, I used to have 9 children living in my house. Now everybody's married, they have their own children. So we have a whole bunch of rooms that we never use. They just sit empty all year long. Once in a long while, when everybody comes, so all the rooms are taken up. But that's only once in a long while. So that's really Diras Aroi. It's not Chayv and Mezuzah now, when all the rooms used to be used practically on a daily basis. So that's a Diras Keva. If you hardly ever use the room, that's a Diras Aroi. So there's a Machlekes Rebbeinu and the Rabbanan, where the Sukkah Sachag Bechag, if you have a Sukkah, it's only going to last for the 7 days of Sukkah, so you're obligated to put on a Mezuzah. Rabbi Yehuda says yes, because the sukkah has to be a diras keva. And the Chum say no, the sukkah has to be dafke diras haroi. And the first daf of Maseches Sukkah, the Gemara gives 3 different explanations for the machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim in the opening Mishnah. Why is there a machlokes if the schach is lamayla meser mama? We paskin is no good. Rabbi Yehuda says that it is good. So one of the 3 explanations is that this is the machlokes, where the sukkah has to dafke be a diras keva, dafke diras haroi. If the schach lemayla meser mama, it's going to be a diras keva. It can't be diras haroi. You're going to have such a big, such a tall frame to hold the schach lemayla meser mama. It's going to have to be a diras keva. So again, so the Orch HaShulchan, the Orch HaNer, points out on the first daf in Sukkah. The Orch HaNer is written by Rabbi Yaakov Entlicke. The first sefer that he wrote, he called Bikurei Yaakov. That was his Reish's Bikurim. And the Bikurei Yaakov is on Hilchas Sukkah and Hilchas Dalet Ninim, is on Shulchan Aruch. The Mishneh Berurah quotes the Bikurei Yaakov mamish every page in Hilchas Sukkah. It's a fantastic sefer. And after that, he wrote all of the Aruch Laner volumes, so several volumes like Gemara, very useful. And then he wrote the Tshuvas, Binyan Tzion. The first 2 Tshuvas and the Binyan Tzion were written to Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer. Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer had an idea. We should build a Beis HaMikdash now and bring Karbonos. We don't have to wait till Mashiach comes and we can solve all the problems. He raises a whole bunch of issues and he thought he solved all the problems. So Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger was one of the, he was a contemporary of his. Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was a Talmud of Rabbi Kiveg. He lived in Germany. Rabbi Kiveg lived in Germany. So Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger also lived in Germany. Rabbi Yaakov Etlinger is the one who gave smicha to Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch and to Rabbi Nathan Adler, who was the chief rabbi of England at that time. So the first 2 tshuvas and the Binyan Tzion were written up to Yerush Kalasha about the possibility of Binyan Beis HaMikdash Bizman Hazeh. He doesn't think that Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalasha solved all the problems. He thinks that there's another problem that he didn't solve. Okay, so the Orach Laner on the first daf in Maseches Sukkah points out, interesting idea, that 98% of all the sukkahs in the world are kosher l'chol hadeis, according to Rabbi Yehuda, because we consider not all of them diras keva. According to Rabbanan, no, it's kosher because it's not a diras keva, because it's a diras haroi, the exact same sukkah that everybody's using. 98% of all the sukkahs is a machlokes. Why is it kosher? Is it because of diras keva? Because it's diras haroi. And 1% of the sukkahs are absolutely diras keva. So then the Chachamim will say it's puzzle. Rabbi Yehuda will say, no, that's wonderful. It's supposed to be diras keva. And 1% of the sukkahs in the world will be a diras haroi. And Rabbi Yehuda will say, that's no good. It has to be diras keva. And we'll paskin, no, that's marvelous. Sukkah is supposed to be a diras haroi. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. There is a Mishnah in the second perek in Sukkah where there's a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan. I have a bed that has a mattress, okay, and it has a frame, as in the front and the back, a headboard, and a board at the feet, and on the side, and it's made in such a way that the frame of the bed on top can hold the schach. So the schach is held up by the bed. The sukkah is not attached to the ground. I can move the bed around. Let's say Lubavitch goes around with a mitzvah mobile, and they have a sukkah that rides on a wagon. So that's a diras haroi. That's not a diras keva. It's not attached to the ground. So if you make a sukkah on a bed, on a kli, on a mitaltel, so that for sure is a diras haroi. So we understand the machlokes hatanai. The Mishnah has a machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda said that it's no good because Rabbi Yehuda l'shitaso holds that it has to be diras keva. So if the sukkah is not attached to the ground, that's by definition a diras haroi. And the Chachamim, the way we pass, can say that it is good because a sukkah has to be dafke diras haroi. There's nothing wrong if it's diras haroi. That's the pasha pshat in the Mishnah. But then the Gemara has another pshat. What do they need another pshat? The first pshat was great. apparently it's not so obvious that it's a diras haroi if you made a sukkah on a bed. So the second pshat in the Gemara comes up with a different idea, that the bed, how do you decide whether schach is kosher or not? Why can't you use this for schach? A normal rooftop. How do you know what the schach is supposed to be made from? So the Mishnah says that the schach has to have three conditions. It has to be gidule karka, has to have grown from the ground, has to be tolush, can't be still attached to the ground, has to be dovishene makabel tumah. Apples and pears also are gidule karka and tolush, but they're makabel tumah. The din is that the apples and the pears are not makabel tumah until you rinse it off with water first. It has to have hechshed zroi. But the din is that it's possible to use for schach even if you didn't rinse it off. So that happens to be a machlokes achreinim, whether the apples and the pears which were not rinsed off are possible with schach as that minat Torah, or maybe that's only with the rabbana. Maybe the thing is dover hamakabel tumah. Happens there's a condition that's missing that you didn't rinse it off yet. But basically the apples and the pears are a dover hamakabel tumah if you rinse it off. That's the question. Is it considered on the level of the rice of dover shein hamakabel tumah? Or no, the dover is a dover hamakabel tumah if you rinse it off. So that's an interesting machlokes. Are you supposed to understand the din of Hechsher Mayim? So the din is that you need these three conditions in order to be kosher schach. So let's say the bed, it's a wooden bed, and the frame of the bed is wood, but the wooden bed is a davar hamakabel tumah. It's a kli that the people use. So here, the bed, the boards of the bed are supporting the schach. So the Gemara gives the second interpretation. The first interpretation in the Machlokes HaTanoim, Radud and Rabbanan, was if the frame of the bed is holding up, is supporting the schach, is it good or not? Because that's diras haroi. That's not a keba. Keba is when it's attached to the ground. And it's the old Machlokes Radud and Rabbanan from the first daf in Sukkah, from the Gemara in Menachos, but the Sukkah Sachag Bechag, is chayv and mezuzah or not? But the Sukkah has to be dafke diras keba, has to be dafke diras haroi. Then the Gemara backs out from that. Gemara gives another suggestion, a different opinion, that maybe it's not the shayla of diras keva, diras haroi, it's a shayla of ma'amid. The boards of the bed are pasul l'sachich, but even though it's gidule karka and tolish, because it's davar hamakabel tumah, it's a kli. The kli kliates is makabel tumah. So the question in the machlokes HaTanaim is, if you have something that's possible to use for schach, can you use that to be mamid the schach, to support the schach? What's the issue with mamid? The Rashi seems to learn on that Gemara, that's how Rabbi Yosef Engel understands Poshim Shat and Rashi, that mabin is a din deraisa, that the ikar of the schach is what's supporting it. So since schach has to be tolush, has to be dov sheini mekabel tumah, so the thing that supports the schach also requires the same three requirements on the level of their eyes. We don't really hold like that, Rashi. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote this opinion that when machmer that you need, the mamid should not be dovah hamakabel tumah. But they say in Shulchan Aruch that it's only a din midrabbanan. They don't quote the Rashi, who sounds like you hold that it's a din deraisa. The issue of mamid, they quote the Ran on the Rif. The Ran on the Rif learns that it's only an issue of exera derabbanan. If you'll allow people to have a davar hamakabel tumah to support the schach, so the next thing you know, the people will use the davar hamakabel tumah for schach itself. So it's a gzeira derabbanan. So that's why, let's say, when I'm home and I put up a sukkah, so we used to use the walls of two buildings as two of the walls of the sukkah. The walls of the building are bricks or stones. And so you can't use that. That's gidule karka. That's not gidule karka. That's karka mamish. You can only use gidule karka b'schach. You can't use karka mamish. So the bricks and the stones are not good for schach. So how can you use, if you have brick walls, you have two buildings that are near each other, so you just put the schach being supported by the bricks and the stones. Isn't that mamid b'schach posel? You're having bricks and stones are supporting the schach. So the Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes the Ran that the whole din of Mamed, the whole issue is only mid the Rabbanon, exera mid the Rabbanon, that someone may use the Dovah HaMamed to use the schach. And everybody knows that you can use the bricks and the stones for the schach. The sukkah, even if all like Rabbi Yehuda, that the sukkah has to be diras keva, But you can't use Beisel Shal Kol HaShana Kula. You can't use the same house that you live in all year long. Let's say a person lives in a sukkah. Fortunate. So if a Jew lives like that, in a sukkah all year long, so he can't be yotzei the mitzvah in the sukkah that's Beisel Shal Kol HaShana Kula. He has to take off the schach and put it back on again l'shem sukkah. Usually you don't have to put the schach on l'shmo l'shem mitzvah. That's machlek as Bishamai and Bishilo. Bishamai's opinion has not been accepted. Bishamai all that the sukkah is only kosher if you put the schach on l'shem mitzvah. And we don't accept Bishamai, we pass like Bishilo. That as long as you put the schach l'shem tzel, if you didn't, let's say I put up logs on top of a frame to dry out the logs. I didn't plan at all that this is going to serve as shade. And then it turns out I have no other place to stay, and that'll be my sukkah. But I didn't put up the logs with the shame tzel, so that's no good. Even Bishil will agree that's no good. You don't have to put it up the shame mitzvah, but Bishil will say you have to put it up the shame tzel. That's why it's a question, a cotton before bar mitzvah, a cotton or a ketana, al pidin are considered la bar das. So therefore, because he's a la bar das, he cannot write a get lishmo. Because in order to write lishmo, you have to have das. So here the question is, you don't need lishmo, l'shem mitzvah, you need l'shem tzel. So the Avnei Nezer has a discussion, should I say that a cotton who's al pidin, a la bar das, even if he's the Vilna Gaon, even if he's a super genius. Before bar mitzvah, the Vilna Gaon was a bigger genius than most adults at the age of 80. But still, al pidin, a cotton is al pidin considered a la bar das. He can't create lishmo. So the question is, what if it's only l'shem tzel? Also, he can't make the children make their own hut and they put a roof on top. They know what they're doing. So they can't even make l'shem tzel. So that's a discussion in Avnei Nezer. Is that acceptable or not? So in Shulchan Aruch, the accepted opinion again that this issue of Mamed is not like Rashi seems to hold, that it's an issue deraisa. Machlag Zhatanaim is an issue derabanan. Reb Yudah holds he cannot put the schach on top of the frame of the bed, because the frame of the bed is a davar hamekabel tumah, and it's a gzeira derabanan. Someone may use the frame of the bed, that wood, for the schach itself. It's a gzeira derabanan. But if you're going to be, the mamet is going to be bricks, mamet is going to be stones, that everybody knows that's basal shalkolo shanakula. Everybody knows you can't use bricks and stones for the schach. That's the whole difference between a basil shakala shanakula and a sukkah. So then there wouldn't be any problem. You can have this schach being supported by walls that are made from bricks and stones. So once you say that the machloikas Rabbi Yudah and the Rabbanan by the mamid is not a machloikas lishitosam, whether sukkah diras haroi diras keva. So how do you paskin? So there's room to say you should paskin like Rabbi Yudah, but why should we? We have a klal usually, yoch v'rabim halochi k'rabim. Rabbi Yudah was outvoted by the Chacham, so the din is that Mamed is good, the sukkah is good. There's an obscure opinion in the Rishonim, there's a minority, should be a minority opinion, that we paskin like Rabbi Yudah, that Mamed is no good. So in Shulchan Aruch there's what seems to be a contradiction. In one place Shulchan Aruch says it's good, the halochi k'chachamim, yoch v'rabim halochi Ramsan says if your Mamed is chach, with schach posel, it's okay. Then in another place, the Shulchan Aruch said, you shouldn't be mamid the schach with the schach posel. So the commentaries explain, the din is mikra din, it's kosher. Because of this minority, shabbat minority opinion, the paskins like Rabbi Yudah, that mamid is no good. You can't be mamid of hamakabal tumah. So the Shulchan Aruch recommended, you should be choshesh l'chatchila for that sheet. As Amidas chasidus. But mikra din is not really a problem. So the whole topic of Mamed, the whole thing is in Gansen, a Chumrah to begin with. Mikra Adin, we don't paskin for Mamed. So the Shulchan Aruch recommended you should be choshish for the opinion. So the Magen Avraham has a famous comment at which the Mishnah Berurah quotes, which everybody relies on. Everybody does that. If you have, let's say, a metal frame for the sukkah. So metal is karka. Metal is not gedula karka. Metal is mined out from the earth. Doesn't grow from the ground, so metal is no good for a schach. So a metal frame should not be acceptable to support the schach. So what do you do? A lot of people have a metal frame, or plastic frame or something. Plastic is synthetic material, it doesn't grow from the ground. So what can you do if you have a metal frame? So the Magen Avraham says you have a metal frame, so you put a couple of beams, put four beams, two this way, two the other way, and then you put the schach on top of the beam. So the Ramban writes in Sukkah on the bottom of the rift, the Ramban writes in Mohammed, the only gzera of Rabbi Yudah Shita, that Mamed is no good, is only Mamed. If the schach is directly being supported by the Gova HaMakabal Tum. But if it's Mamed the Mamed, the schach is supporting something else, which in turn is supporting the Gova HaMakabal Tum. Is supporting beams, and the beams in turn are supporting the schach. So that's mamid de mamid. So mamid de mamid, even Rabbi Yudah agrees that there's no gzera. So that was the common practice from many centuries, quite a few centuries. Everybody relied on that Ramban, the way the Magen Avraham understood it in the Mishnah Berurah. And then the Chazon Ish came along, and he claims that that's a misreading of the Ramban. Ramban didn't mean that. Ramban said, every sukkah is supported by the ground. So whatever you're going to use for the walls, but the walls are being supported by the ground, and the ground is not gidula karka, the ground is karka. So how is any sukkah good? So the answer is, so the ground is holding up the wooden frame. Let's say you have a sukkah with a wooden frame. So the wood is gidula karka, dovashayni makabal tumna. But the wooden frame is being supported by the ground. So the Ramban said, that's mamid de mamid. But the Chazon Ish is against the Magen Avraham and against the Mishnah Berurah. That's not mamid de mamid. Let's say I'll have a metal frame and I'll put a foot thick of schach. No normal person puts a foot thick. I'll put a foot of schach. So let's say the bottom 6 inches are being supported by the metal frame, and the top 6 inches of schach are being supported by the bottom 6 inches of schach. So you can always say it's always mamid de mamid. So you don't even need 12 inches. You can have 3 inches. So say the bottom inch and a half of the schach kosher is supporting the upper inch and a half. The upper inch and a half is enough to make tzilos and merubah mechamosah. So whenever you have a thick amount of schach, say you divide it in half. Say the bottom part is mamed the upper half, and the metal frame of the sukkah is supporting the bottom half, which in turn supports. Nobody says like that. All the schach is the schach. All the schach is one thing. So what does it make a difference if you have a metal frame and you put 4 wooden beams on the 4 sides on top of the metal frame, then you put a mat, a sukkah mat, you put on top of that. The mat with the wooden logs are all schach. So all the schach is being supported by the metal frame. What do you tell me a story that the metal frame is supporting the wooden beams and the wooden beams are supporting the schach? The wooden beams with the schach is all part of the schach. So that's what the Chazon Ish taught. He said, in all truth, the whole thing is only a chumra mikra, then we don't pass like Rabbi Yudah, loch avram halachi kerabim. And the Shulchan Aruch said the favorite that it's good, mamid is kosher. But in the other place, the Shulchan Aruch wrote, l'chatchili should be choshesh. So he says, if you don't want to, you don't have to. But if you want to be choshesh, you haven't accomplished anything by putting the 4 beams. So that's what people spend a fortune of money when they have a metal frame for the sukkah. They'll spend a fortune of money to buy a wooden frame. That's called the Chazon Ish sukkah. In order to have that, you shouldn't have a metal frame with wooden beams that are holding up the schach, because the wooden beams with the schach is all thick layers of schach, and it's all it's mamid. That's not called mamid the mamid. That's called the Chazon Ish schach. That's quite a chumer. It costs people a lot of money. Mikra din, let's say if your parents have such a sukkah, don't give them a heart attack. Or if you're invited to eat out by someone, the ikra din is that the sukkah is kosher, even if the mamid is a dova hamakabal tumah, as long as the schach is good.
What about nails? Nails in sukkah.
What do you mean nails in a sukkah?
I mean if you connect the beams that support the schach, nails.
If the schach would fall down without the nails, then the nails are mamid. So then it'll be the shaila whether you have to. It's a chumra. That'll be a chumra.
Remember, there wouldn't be the equivalent of not roi sake for the ram.
Not roi.
The sake for the ram. The ram. Before the ram said that was acceptable to put on like the bricks. So if you have a nail, so you can't make a hoop out of nails. You know, it's made of metal, but.
I don't think so. I don't think the Ran would agree. No, the Ran says if it's bricks, it's stones. Everybody knows no good. But if you have a whole bunch of nails, someone may think that's all aroi. That's a good schach. Have a ton of nails and you have them all tied together with strings. So someone may think that's good. A makeshift sukkah. Yeah.
How do you usually, instead of wooden beams, how do you instead of wooden beams, my family uses a fence.
A fence?
Just for some of it that they have. Would that be okay?
Yeah, it would.
Assuming
if the wood is painted a different color, that's a question. The Gemara, the end of the first parak in Sukkah, where the Gemara says that the string that grows from the ground, hemp, when you pack it, when you tie up a parcel post package, and you tie it with string, the thick brown string, that's hemp that grows on a bush. But when you look at it, you can't tell. It doesn't look the way it looked when it grew from the bush. So the Rambam learns in the Gemara that that's a psul de rabbanon. If the thing is gidule karka, but it's mishtana, it doesn't look like it grew from the ground, the Rambam holds that that's a psul de rabbanon. Rashi and Tosfos do not learn like that. Rashi and Tosfos, the Gemara means that if you have string, the string is sometimes mekabel tumas taras begodim. A psul de raisa, a whole different shot. The Rambam learns it's not talking about taras begodim, it's a psul de rabbanon. So that's a question, the Shari Tshuva next to the Behetiv has a question. What if you painted, you have wooden beams and you painted them? Because if you don't paint them, when it's going to rain, you're going to get ruined. So if you paint it or you put on shellac, that may protect it that it'll last long. So that's a shaila. If you have a fence, very often the wood of the fence will be painted. So that'll be a shaila. Is that called nishtan? For a ganav who steals a beam and he paints it a different color, you say shinoi, that's considered shinoi. The question is that called shinoi for sukkah? For sukkah, it still looks like wood. Even if you paint it a different color, even if you paint it white, it still you can notice that it's wood. So that's the question whether that's called gilul karka shenishtana. Shulchan Aruch discusses a situation where a person put the schach on top of the sukkah. Sukkah is fine, but he's afraid the wind is going to blow off the schach. If you have a strong wind, it'll blow off the schach. So the fellow puts a ladder, a wooden ladder. A ladder is a geduli karka, it's talush. But the question is it a dov hamakabel tuma or not? Is it considered a kli? So wooden kelim are only makabel tuma if they have a base kibul. Let's say if you have a Dixie cup and you have a wooden spoon, there is no indentation. If you have a wooden spoon that has a base kibble, it's indented, so then the kliates, pshuti kliates, are not mekabel tuma. Pshuti means if it's flat, it has to have a base kibble. So a ladder doesn't have a base kibble, but some that's a question some rishonim hold, that a ladder is mekabel tuma because it's royal hishtamshes b'nei adam. People climb on the ladder. So the Shulchan Aruch writes that if you put a ladder on top of the schach to hold it down, that's Shulchan Aruch holds that that's called, Shulchan Aruch is quoting Rishonim, that's considered ma'amid, but he's mesupik whether a ladder is makabel tuma. Now the Chazon Ish, on the one hand was machmer, on the ma'amid, but then on the other hand, he doesn't agree with the Shulchan Aruch. Chazon Ish was very independent. He'll disagree with Rishonim also. He'll disagree with Shulchan Aruch a lot of times. Bein l'hakol, bein l'hachmer. He says what he thinks the din is. So the Chazon Ish was of the opinion that it's only called mamid if you wouldn't have the dava hamamid, the schach would fall down. But here the schach is sitting on top of the sukkah. You want to prevent the wind from blowing it off, from becoming pasul. So whenever the dava hamamid prevents it from becoming pasul, that's not called mamid. Mamid is only if it makes it. So let's say you have metal poles that hold up metal poles that hold up the schach. So let's say the schach, let's say I have a sukkah like this, and the wooden poles of the schach go on top of, from on top of one wall to on top of the other wall. So the walls, the wooden walls are holding up the schach. So even if you put metal to prevent, you're going to put nails there, you're going to put a metal ladder to prevent the schach from falling off, he said, that's not called mamid. But if the schach doesn't reach from one wall to the other, and you have to have metal poles on the bottom to hold the schach, and if you wouldn't put the metal, if you wouldn't put the nails, then the schach would fall down because it doesn't reach from one wall to the other. That's called mamid. if you put the schach on top of the sukkah and it's sitting normally, and you just put the nails to prevent it from becoming puzzle, he has a chiddush. He thinks that that's not called mamon. He gives a moshav from Hilchas Mikvois. In Hilchas Mikvois, we distinguish like that. And it's not like the Shulchan Aruch. Okay. But the whole story of mamon, the whole thing is only a chumra to begin with. Some people have a clothesline in their backyard, so sometimes the clothesline is high enough, so they have a few clotheslines, and they have the schach is being supported by the clothesline. So you have different clotheslines. So sometimes it's made from hemp, sometimes it's made from gedule karka, but it's nishtana. It doesn't look like gedule karka. So that's only the Rambam shita. That's only possible in the Rabbanan, nishtana. So that's a big machlokes and achrayim, and there's a stir in the Mishnah Berurah in Hilchas Sukkah, two pages apart. This din of mamid, we assume like the Ran, that the whole discussion of mamid is a gzera de Rabbanan. So maybe it only makes sense if the Dovah HaMamid is possible sachich bo min HaTorah. What if it's only possible sachich bo min HaRabbanan? Let's say it's a gidul lekarka shenishtanu, the hemp thick ropes. So it's only possible HaRabbanan, so maybe that's gzera de gzera. Maybe I have no right to make gzera de gzera. And maybe that's not gzera de gzera. Gzera de gzera, the Achronim explain, Mishnah Berurah quotes it from Rabbi Kevega, from the Netzivus, and from a few other Achrayim, they all say the same. Gzera de gzera is only if what motivated the Chachamim to make gzera de Rabbanan is because they're concerned that people are going to violate a din de Rabbanan. So that's insufficient cause. You have to have a tzorach godel to make gzera. If the whole tzorach is you're afraid someone's going to violate an aveira de Rabbanan, that's insufficient tzorach to make gzera, and they have no right to make such gzera. But here, the two gzeras are made independently. They made a din that gedule karka shenishtanu is no good because it doesn't look like gedule karka. That may mislead people into thinking that you don't need gedule karka. And then mamon is no good because independently because people may think that you're allowed to use the dovah hamamid to be misacha. See, this is a trade rabbanon. But this is a trade rabbanon. Shvuz de shvuz. You don't say every shvuz de shvuz is a gzera le gzera and it's not chal. A trade de rabbanon is more chal than a chad de rabbanon, but you don't say automatically every trade de rabbanon is mutter. A shvuz de shvuz by makamitsu, we say is mutter, but shalom makamitsu is asa. You don't say that every shvuz de shvuz is a gzera le gzera. So that's a question whether this is an example of a gzera le gzera, that you shouldn't, for those who are everyone's machma on the mamid, the basic din of mamid, you shouldn't use a mamid. So does it apply if the schach pasul is only pasul with the rabban? So there happens to be a stira in the Mishnah Berurah. So sometimes you have stiras from Mishnah Berurah from one chelik to the other, because the different parts in the Mishnah Berurah were written by different members of the family. In the three volumes of the Kol Kisvei HaChofetz Chaim, so they have a biography of the Chofetz Chaim that was written by one of his sons. So he writes in the biography of his father that the Mishnah Berurah project was divided among different members of the family. He writes, I wrote this section, my uncle wrote the other section, and that's why there's a contradiction and a certain din. He says, a din, if a Jew did Malach on Shabbos, they have to wait b'chdei she'asa on Matzoi Shabbos. So that's a machlekes Rashi and Taisus. So he writes, I pask in one way, my uncle pask in the other way. And the Chofetz Chaim was the general editor, but he didn't check over every line. It's interesting, the Lubavitch was pressuring the Russian government for years that they should give back. Under the communists, they confiscated a lot of the Lubavitcher libraries in a few different cities. So Lubavitch was requesting for many years from the Russian government they should please give him back all the books that they basically stole from the Lubavitcher library. So they gave him, after many years of requesting, they gave him back many of the books. They still didn't give back all the books. And they gave him back some books that were never belonged to the Lubavitcher library. So by mistake, they gave him the original manuscript of the Mishnah Berurah that was getting to the typesetter in the printing house. So in 770, Eastern Park, where they have the original copy of the Mishnah Berurah. So it's written in different handwritings and different colors ink. And the people who know the handwriting say that they know which one is the Chofetz Chaim's handwriting. At the end of a long Bir Halacha, sometimes he'll add on a line. He'll add on another marmok and he'll give a final hachra. But he didn't write, the Chofetz Chaim didn't write the whole, he has his name on the first page. It says it's written by Rabbi Yisrael, by Yisrael Meir HaKoyin from Radin. But he was the general editor. He didn't write it all. So that's why they're a glaring contradiction. Here, this is a contradiction within Hilchas Sukkah itself, two pages apart from each other. This is a pella. This is a machlokes achrayim. The Chumrah of Mamid doesn't only apply if it's Chach Posam and Atar, even if it's Chach Posam and the Rabban. Chacham Avadya has a tshuva on this. He has tshuvas on everything under the sun. Beautiful tshuvas. So he has a tshuva on this also. So he says, in Achrayim it's a big machlokes, but in Rishayim he looked, and there's only one source in Rishayim. He dug up a ritva, and the ritva says that it's Lohakel, that it's a Mamid on a Chach Posam and the Rabban, and it's a Gzeira L'Gzeira. So he says that's usually what we assume. Whenever there's a machlokes and achrayim, and in Rishonim, you only find one direction, even though maybe 99% of the Rishonim disagree. But the Oman wrote Tvaker. So in the Rishonim, he just found Lohokel. So he said, you could be Mekel. The whole thing is a Chumra to begin with. The whole story of Mamim, we really don't paskin like Mamim. So he says, there's room to be Mekel. You're not Mechuyev to be Machmer for Mamim if it's only Schach Possum with the Rabbanim. So again, so some people have the schach as being held up by the clotheslines, and then they put the tefanis underneath the schach. So the schach is not really sitting on the tefanis, the schach is being supported by the clothesline. So what kind of a clothesline do they have? So if they have a plastic clothesline with a metal wire in the middle, that's pasul l'schach min ha-Torah, because plastic is not gedulei karka, and metal is not gedulei karka. So that's a real chumrah of mamid. But if the whole clothesline is made from hemp, it's only schach posam midrabbanon. So then Chacham Avadya says, "Come on, the whole mamid is only a chumra, and the rishonim, you only find lahakal, you don't find lahachma." So he thinks he can be mekel. If you make a sukkah, many of the conservative temples have the sukkah in the shul. It's built in the shul on the bima, and on the first two nights of sukkahs, the chazan says kiddush in the sukkah. He says leishim basukkah. And he drinks the wine and the sukkah. So it's obviously it's a bracha levatoli, not yotze anything. A sukkah shetach habayis is no good. Sukkah shetachas ha'ilon is no good. Because the ilon, if you have a roof on top, or you have a tree on top, and the tree is gedulei karka, so the schach is not being mesach, because the roof on top or the tree on top is also giving shade. It doesn't make a difference whether the tree is above the schach or below the schach. But the tree is lemaile mesamam or lemata mesamam, but there were different opinions in the Rishonim. But the Shulchan Aruch has not accepted any of the kulas. In Shulchan Aruch, we assume whenever you have a kosher schach, but you have either schach posel above it or below it, so that you can't sit under that part of the sukkah. So sometimes you have a concrete ledge from a building protruding. Sometimes you have on the roof concrete is protruding. Sometimes you have in a hotel. There's one hotel in Yerushalayim where the sukkah is in, the hotel is built in a circle, and then there's an empty space in the middle, and then they have concrete boulders that protrude over a good part of the middle area, and then they have schach over there. So for sure you can't sit under the concrete. So the shaila is whether you can sit under the rest of the sukkah. Can you sit under the rest of the sukkah? So there's a din of Doifan Akuma. There's a din, let's say this is the top of the sukkah. So let's say I have a tree that covers, that branches of the tree cover this part of the sukkah. Half of the sukkah, three quarters of the sukkah are covered with branches of the tree. Or you have the roof, the concrete is protruding over here for three quarters of the sukkah. So the question is, can you sit over here? So if you have three walls over here, and you have schach kosher over here, so forget about this part. You don't need three. You don't even need three walls. You have three walls, one, two, three, and you have zayin al zayin tvachim. So this part of the sukkah is good. You can't sit in this part. But if you don't have, let's say you only have three walls, one, two, three, these three, and this wall, there's nothing here. So can you sit over here? So the din is that the schach has to be within three tvachim to the tvanas. I live in 24 Bennett, so the next building has a lot of Jews living there, 44 Bennett, so they always used to build a few sukkahs. Now everybody goes away for sukkahs, so there's hardly anybody left. But they used to build a few sukkahs in the front yard. So one year, hardly anybody was there, so they didn't put so much schach, so they had four walls around the sukkah. They only had schach in the middle, because there weren't going to be a gigantic sukkah, they only had schach in the middle. The schach in the middle was not within three tvachim to any of the walls. So the whole sukkah is no good. The Mishnah says the schach has to be within three tvachim to the walls. If it's not within three tvachim to the wall, that wall is not mitztaref to the sukkah. So let's say if you have three walls, if you have four walls around the sukkah, and then you have the concrete or the branches of the tree are covering this part of the sukkah. So dalmei hacha, ignore this part. You have three walls over here, so the sukkah is good. If you have no wall over here and you're relying on these three walls, so this wall over here is not within three tvachim to the schach. The schach kosher begins over here. This is all schach pasul. So the Mishnah has halacha l'moshe misina. If the schach pasul goes up until dalet ames, it's not more than dalet ames, then you have the right to say that this kosher schach that you have, the branches on the branches of the concrete are all the way up here. But the sukkah is over here. So if you have the kosher schach goes up until here, so if this kosher schach is not kosher because it's under the concrete around the branches, so if this extension, if this distance between the doifen over here and the schach kosher over here where you're going to sit is going to be less than dalet ames, then I consider the schach kosher as an extension of the wall. So if it's a doifen akum, as if the wall is a little crooked, the doifen goes up over here and it bends over here. So the sukkah has three walls. One wall over here, one wall over here. Here there's no wall at all. And it has the third wall. The third wall goes up over here, the doifen. But you can't sit over here. So the doifen goes all the way up here, up until here. But if it's more than dalet ames, then you can say doifen akuma. Then the Mishnah has an example of a din. I remember the first time we visited Eretz Yisrael. So we stayed for a while. We stayed in Tzfat. So we rented, I was married then, we didn't have any children then. So we rented a place, must have been built in the 1700s. They had buildings around in a circle. And the apartment where we rented didn't have a bathroom to use. So we had to walk outside in order to use one of the rooms was a bathroom. So each one of the houses that were all built in a circle had in front of it had a little bit of a roof, what do you call it, like an awning, like a roof in front. And then in the middle was empty. There was no roof over there. So in the winter time, if you had to go to the bathroom, you had to walk around in a circle. You can't walk straight because you get rained on. You get rained on and snowed on because the middle, there was nothing there. So for sukkahs, they can put schach on top in the middle. I bet there's no defanus at all over there. So the answer is no, but all of the roofs were less than dalet ames from the front of the building. So the front of the wall and the front of the building, the outside of the wall in front of the building was the doifen for the sukkah all around, because everybody's front sort of porch, it wasn't a porch, the front of everyone's home had a roof on top that was less than dalet ames. So everything was doifen akuma all around. And the Mishnah says you can use doifen akuma three times, not only one time. You can use it many times. But if it's more than dalet ames, then you can't say doifen akuma. The Gemara said, that's halacha l'moshe misina. The Gemara says that you don't need all the four walls for a sukkah. If you have three, is also good. But the three, you don't really need three. If you have shtayim kehilchasim, kehilchasim means at a right angle to each other. Then there's a kula shlishis afilat. If you have two walls that are parallel to each other, then it's a little more complicated. But if the two walls are not parallel, the wall has to be at least 10 tefachim tall, and has to be at least 7 tefachim long. The sukkah has the minimum size of the sukkah is 7 tvachim by 7 tvachim. Unlike a room for the purposes of mezuzah, for purposes other purposes that you need, a diras keva, that the shear for ishtamshus of a room is dalet ames or dalet ames. If you have a room that's less than dalet ames, it's not going to be a diras keva. It's going to be very uncomfortable there. But by sukkah, we paskan diras haroi. There was an opinion in the days of the Tanaim that a sukkah has to be a diras keva, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, and based on Rabbi Yehuda, there was an opinion that the sukkah has to have dalet ames or dalet ames, but we have not accepted that opinion. There's no midas chasidus being machmer for that either. So you don't need dalet ames or dalet ames. All you need is zayin tvachim al zayin tvachim. So the Mishnah has, if you have shtayim kehilchasim at a right angle to each other, Then shlishis afilat tefach. It's halacha l'moshe m'sinai. So what it means shlishis afilat tefach? So it's complicated. So we don't rely on that. In fact, in the Shulchan Aruch, they recommend, all the poskim recommend, you should really make a sukkah with four walls. Shouldn't rely on three walls. Tosef discusses why isn't it a violation of Baal Tosef. But it's clearly not a violation of Baal Tosef. It's not a violation of Baal Tosef. If you eat matzah on Pesach night, you eat more than a kazayis. It's also not a violation of Baal Tosef. You gain a lot of weight, but it's not a violation of Baal Tosef.
How tight did the walls have to be?
How tight?
Is there a looseness? Can they be very loose? Or how tight?
Then in the Mishnah is that a sukkah mechitza, she'enig chad alame beruch mitzuya, is possible. So what does it mean, chad alame beruch mitzuya? So the Chazon Ish disagrees with all the classical poskim, and he writes this style. Mistimas kol poskim mashma, whenever he wants to disagree with everybody. That's right. Mistimas kol poskim mashma, that it means if the whole sukkah will collapse. But if the walls are floating, waving back and forth, shaking in the wind, so that's not a problem. See, this din is a din in Hilchos Shabbos also. In order to be considered a mechitza, to create a Rishus HaYachid, you can't have mechitza she'en yichol lama b'roch mitzuyah. So a lot of times the Israeli army comes to a location late Friday afternoon, they have to make an erev to be allowed to carry. So they have gigantic nets to catch terrorists. And the nets are very tight like this. So they just take the nets and they go around all the trees. They go around and the wind blows. The wind blows it in like this and then the wind blows it out like that. Way, it's blowing in the wind back and forth. But the army, they rely on this kulaf and the Chazon Ish. As long as the net is always touching the ground, they're within 3 tefachim to the ground. And as much as it blows in, it bellows in, it bellows out. It's always going to be 10 tefachim tall, and it's only going to be always going to be touching the ground within tefachim to the ground. So the Chazon Ish holds that there's nothing wrong with that. And he writes, "Histimas dire kol haposkim mashma," like that. It's beferish not so. All the classical poskim say it's no good. They all say if the wind blows back and forth, it's no good. That's why the Shulchan Aruch recommends that you shouldn't use sheets or cloth for defanas. So when they first came out with the prefabricated sukkahs, that you have a plastic, you have a metal frame, and you have a, that's made specially, and you have the plastic that you attach to the metal frame. So many Rabbam said, l'chatchili, not allowed to use it, because you may not attach it properly. The Pashtus is that the company was really right, that the chashash that it may fly in the wind, that's if you make a makeshift sukkah like that. But if they manufacture it specially, I tell you, tie this over there and tie this over there. It's not gonna wave in the wind. It's gonna wave a little bit, but if you're gonna have wooden, a wooden sukkah is also gonna wave in the wind a little bit. If you have a big wind, it's gonna wave. It has to wave significantly. According to the Chazon Ish, it's never gonna be possible. Even if it waves significantly, so as long as it always has the sheer sukkah, 10 tefachim tall and within 3 tefachim to the ground, and even according to the other poskim, has to wave significantly. So what significantly? So some claim, if it's within 3 tefachim to where it should have been, according to the pull of gravity, should have been like this, and because of the wind, it's going to wave either this way or that way, more than 3 tefachim away from where it should have been. That's not really what lavud means. Lavud means one thing is within 3 tefachim to the other thing, not that it's within 3 tefachim to where it's supposed to have been. But that's what some of the poskim say. And others say, no, if it waves even less than 3 tefachim, but if it waves, it has to be within, has to be a reasonable amount, because even wooden walls also going to shake a little bit in the wind.
Is that 3 yishai or 1.5 on yishai?
Pardon me?
3 tefachim, is it 1.5 on yishai or 3 on yishai?
Some say within 3 tefachim on each side. In other words, you have up until 6 tefachim it can wave. Chazon Ish, it's always good. But these are the prefabricated sukkahs. They're made, and they tell you where to tie this down, where to hook this on. So the Pashtus is at the recommendation, the Chumrah of the Shulchan Aruch, not to use cloth defanas, probably does not apply over there. This is manufactured specially that it should hold. So you have to give your parents a heart attack over that issue. Mikarad din, you're really supposed to eat and drink in the sukkah and sleep in the sukkah. The Shulchan Aruch has a kula for married people, why they can sleep out of the sukkah. It's a very shvache kula. more correct is he really supposed to sleep in the sukkah, unless it's really mitztayer, unless it's really very cold or if it's raining or something like that. Then you don't gain anything to eat in the sukkah. Lubavitch has a practice that they'll eat in the sukkah even if it's raining. Why? Because they're mitztayer to eat chutz l'sukkah. They have more. That's what the Rebbe wrote the tshuva years ago. He printed the tshuva and then they reprinted it. They took all the essays that the Rebbe wrote on halacha topics and they put into a few volumes like Shadah tshuvas. So they have this humorous, very funny essay because they're mitztayer. They're more in pain to eat chutz l'sukkah than to eat in the sukkah. And sleeping in the sukkah, they never sleep in the sukkah. Why? Because the Shechina is there. So they're mitztayer, potem and sukkah. How can they sleep in a bed next to the Shechina? Shechina is there. Hi, but the balabatim don't sense that the Shechina is there, so they're not mitztayer. So the Rebbe wrote, they're mitztayer that they... Why? They don't have. Why they're not on the madrega. The whole thing sounds like a joke. I don't know. The whole thing sounds like a joke. Very, very schwer. Not to sleep in the sukkah is really not right. I usually don't sleep in the sukkah, but really it's a very shvacha heter. And Shmini Atzeres. No, it's not right. In Eretz Yisrael, I sleep in the sukkah. Well, my children used to live in California. So when I went there for sukkah, so I slept in the sukkah. It was beautiful. In New York, it's hard to sleep in a sukkah because you have wonderful neighbors. They'll throw bottles at you. and other things. Rav Moshe Feinstein's father died because he was Moshe Nefesh to sleep in the sukkah on Leil Shmini Atzeres. It was the Hasidim don't sit in the sukkah on Shmini Atzeres, and the Misnagdim do. In the days of the Rishonim, it was a big machlokes because those who live in Chutz Lo'os and Shmini Atzeres should be a Sveika Diyoyim of Hashanah Rab. Shmini Atzeres, you don't have to sit in sukkah. But those who live in Chutz Lo'os, so we observe as if it's a Sveika Diyoyim of Shmini Atzeres, should be a Sveika Diyoyim of Hashanah Rab. So Hashanah Rab, you do have to sit in the sukkah. So in the Gemara, there are different opinions whether you sit in sukkah with a bracha or without a bracha. Then the Gemara says, in our edition, the Gemara says, "Vilchus adab sak alocha is you sit in the sukkah and you don't say a bracha." Basically, Yasvina b'chulay mevachina. Half of the Rishonim didn't sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. What do they do against the Gemara? Rashi didn't sit in sukkah on Shmini Atzeres. They say Rashi probably didn't have that girsa, and they say maybe this girsa was carried over from the Bahag. In the Sefer Alochas Gedolos, it says like that. And every so often, Tosfos will point it out, that there's a line in the Gemara that they took from the Bahag, that it didn't originally say that Gemara. So it's possible that this really came from the Bahag. So the Hasidim have a source in Rishonim that they don't sit in Sukkah and Shmini Atzeres, but the Misnagdim do. So Rav Moshe Feinstein's father slept in the Sukkah and Leil Shmini Atzeres, even though it was freezing, and he got sick, and he got a stroke. And he suffered for a couple of weeks, and then he died because of that. So I would have thought that the moral of the story is that if it's cold on Shmini Atzeres, for sure you don't sleep in the sukkah. So Rav Moshe was machmer always to sleep in the sukkah on Leil Shmini Atzeres, even if it's cold. He would tell the children and the grandchildren they don't have to. But his father was Maisa Nefesh. He gave up his life. There was Shalai Kedin. He gave up his life. So he personally was always machmet to sleep in the sukkah on Leil Shmini Atzeres. Rav Moshe quotes the Shaila years ago in America. There was a big debate 100 years ago. There was a big machlokes. If a person is paralyzed and the left arm doesn't function at all, can he be yotze tefillin on the left arm? If it's a dead arm, it doesn't function. So Moshe Feinstein said, you can. How does he know? Because his father was paralyzed for a couple of weeks. He got a stroke when he slept in the sukkah. And his father was a big Talmid Chacham. His father put on tefillin on the paralyzed arm. So that's how he knows that's the din. Right. How did his father know? So he writes a whole tshuva. How his father knows? It's like a Gemara in Chayrus. And he says the definition of alive and not alive is not whether the nervous system is functioning, but whether blood is circulating. So if you cut the finger, it's going to bleed over there on the paralyzed arm. So you see the blood is still circulating. So since blood is circulating, that's considered the arm is alive. If the arm would have gangrene, means the blood is not circulating and the arm is beginning to deteriorate like a dead body in the ground, then Rav Moshe said you couldn't be yotze tefillin. if gangrene set in the arm and the blood is not circulating, but the blood is circulating, just it's paralyzed, the nervous system doesn't work, that's not called a dead arm, that's called a live arm. The Pashtus is that that's a definition of alive and dead on the whole organism also. Whether the person is alive or dead doesn't really, shouldn't depend on the brain death. The doctors of our generation invented this whole Baba Maisa with the brain death because the insurance companies don't want to pay insurance le'olam void. So they asked the doctors, paskan, that the guy's dead. So they came up with a chiddush of brain death. But the guy's still alive, alpidin. Kozman, the blood is still circulating in his system, even though his brain is not functioning. The pashtus is that he's still alive. That's a definition. Many gemaras like that. Like Rav Moshe said, the definition of a live organ or a dead organ or a live organism. And a dead organism is whether the blood is circulating or not, as it says in Chumash, ki adam hu anefesh. This is quotes that pasuk. If he causes bleeding on Shabbos Yantav, that's a malacha of Netilas Neshama, based on the pasuk, ki adam hu anefesh. So that was Rav Moshe's tshuva. Before the whole brain death came up, Rav Moshe wrote this tshuva a long time ago, that you can be yotze tefillin on the paralyzed arm, because the blood is still circulating, and that's considered alive. Yeah, now we have a sukkah, and if it rains in the sukkah, so it's going to be sopping wet for hours after the rain ends. So now they have covers for the sukkah, place to cover, a wooden cover, whatever, on top of the sukkah. In Yiddish, you call it the shlak, the roof on top. So the question is, there's a din of tasav alem and hasi. When you put the schach on top of the sukkah, you have to, by putting the schach, you make it kosher. Let's say, if I build the sukkah inside the conservative temple on the platform in the front, on the beam in the front, and then I take off the roof, so that's tasav lemonos. At the time that I put the schach, it was no good. Let's say I build the sukkah under a tree, and then I chop down the tree. So since at the time that I built the sukkah, it was no good, the anochas haschach wasn't giving tzel at the time that I put it up. So that's no good if you remove the tree. So if I put the schach on top of the sukkah when the roof is still on top above, then I take off the shlak. That's not acceptable. Question is, what if I put the schach on the sukkah and then it's the middle of the sukkah starts to rain, then I put the cover down, then I take the cover up. When you take the cover up, they have to lift up every stitch of schach, because now it's Tassu Lam and also Yanat. So that's in the days of the Rishonim, that was a big machlokes. There was an opinion like that everything is now Tassu Lam and also, because the whole sukkah was puzzle. When you put the roof on top, and then when you remove the roof, you have to pick up each piece of schach and put it down again. There are people who are machmer like that. They accept the psak and Shulchan Aruch is that it's not necessary. If the schach was put be'echsher, tchilas ha'seyosa be'echsher, then even though you covered it over later and you removed the cover, that's not a psul of tasav lemenos. That would be good. So I told over, every year I tell over this story, that one year, one of my daughters got married in Eretz Yisrael. She went in between high school and the college. She went to Eretz Yisrael for Shana Aleph, Shana Beit, Shana Gimel, Shana Dalet. She never came home. And then she went to college there. She went to Hebrew University. So they said, which yeshiva bacha is going to marry a girl from the Hebrew University? You're never going to get a shidduch, only from Merkaz Harav. So she says, so I'll marry a boy from Merkaz Harav. So my son-in-law is from Merkaz Harav. So she got married. She got married in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot. So we stayed for Sukkot. They had Shevet Brachas. So just that year, it was pouring on Sukkot. Never happens. Never happens. That year, it was pouring on Sukkot, and there was big winds. So a lot of people had sukkahs built on the fifth floor, and a lot of the schach, they never tied down the schach. There are never any storms there. The rain begins way after sukkahs. So a lot of the schach fell down. So what happened was, one of the sukkahs on the ground level, the schach fell down, so there was no schach. Then the schach from the sukkah on the fifth floor flew off in the air, and it landed on top of the sukkah that was on the ground, untouched by human hands. No one did anything. That's the way it felt. It fell down on top. So a lot of the rabbanim said it's good the way it is, because tchilas hanochas haschach was behesh. I thought that was a joke. I thought it's absurd there. I said tchilas hanochas haschach on that sukkah. This sukkah was tchilas about sefer. It's possible. I think for sure it's possible. Okay. In Shulchan Aruch there is a chumra. I remember when the Hamawak used to be under the OU. So I was once there when they were putting up the sukkah. So it was easier for them to put up. They had a gigantic sukkah because they had a few hundred guests there. So it was easier for them to put up the schach before putting up the tfanas. So that says in the Ramah, a chumra, that you shouldn't do that. If you put up the schach before the tfanas, so then it's not a kosher sukkah. But then by putting up the tfanas, they make it kosher. So the Ramah said that that's tasav ulam en ha'asa. So a lot of achrenim think that it's only a chumra, mikra din, it's really good. But still, it's a chumra. Some hold it is good, some hold it is mikra din. All the Gemara said it's a question. The Ramah's chumra seems to be against Gemara's. But at least in Lachatchila, the Ramah recommends like that. You shouldn't put up the schach until you first put up the defanas. Okay, I've got to say a few words about lulav and esrig. The Gemara said you're supposed to hold the lulav in the right hand and the esrig in the left hand because the lulav has 3/4 of the mitzvah and the esrig only has 1/4 of the mitzvah. Yeah, what if a person is a lefty? So that's a machlokes in Shulchan Aruch. We usually assume that if one is a lefty, he switches everything. So over here, the Mishnah Berurah recommends that the ikar is he should hold the lulav in the left hand, the esrog in the right hand, but after he finishes the nanuim, he should switch the hands and shake it once the other way. Ma'akol harash alzeh, because there's an opinion in the Rishonim, that is ma'akid b'dievet. Magen Avraham quotes the Rabbeinu Chananel on the Gemara in Sukkah. Magen Avraham had the Rabbeinu Chananel on Sukkah. We thought that it was discovered when they printed the Vilna Shas in the late 1800s. Magen Avraham wrote his commentary before the Vilna Shas was born, before Magen Avraham wrote in the late 1600s, the early 1700s. So he had this Rabbeinu Chananel. The Rabbeinu Chananel says, if you hold in the wrong hand, that you're not Yotze. But because a lefty has a machlokes, so the Mishnah Berurah says, Me'ikar Adin, the lefty should hold the lulav in the left hand, because that's his stronger hand. But to satisfy the other opinion, holds not so. So, and some hold that it's Ma'akar B'dievet, so he should shake again. A lot of times when we say Hallel, or when we go with Hoshayna, so you hold the lulav and the esrog in the same hand, and you hold the siddur in the other hand. So some say that that's not right. You have to hold the hand, the lulav and the esrog, davka in two different hands. You shouldn't hold it in the same hand. So you got an issue. How are you going to... You only have two hands. So how are you going to hold the siddur? But more correct is to try to be careful to hold the lulav and the esrog in two different hands. We usually assume that you need 3 hadasim. Where does that come from? That's a machlokes hatanaim in the Mishnah, where they need 3 hadasim or 1 hados. Pasuk says, anaf eitz avos. It's in the singular. But because it's 3 different words, anaf, eitz, avos, so the Chachamim say in the Mishnah that you need 3 hadasim. You add up the 3 words. In Mishnah Berurah it says, sveke d'dina how we pasken, machlokes in the Rishonim, whether 1 hados or 3. And he says you should be neutral. If you only have 1 kosher hadas and 2 apostle, so then you should, it looks nice, it looks like 3, but you know only one of them is kosher. So then he says you should not say a bracha because it's a sveke d'dina, whether you need all 3 li'ikuvah, or only 1 is makkah. There was 1 tana of the opinion, Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion, that just like there's only 1 lulav and 1 esrog, so too there's only 1 hadas and 1 arava. So we don't accept Rabbi Akiva's opinion. We say that Arabis, you need 2. Arve Nachal, it's in the plural. Arve Nachal, you need 2. A minimum of 2. If you want to have more than 2, it's avadi good. And Hadasim, Lechatchil, for sure, you need 3 kosher Hadasim. Hadasim have to be Mishalosha. All the 3 leaves have to be around in the same line. If you have 2 leaves and 1 on top, that's not really Mishalosha. How tall do these branches have to be? So the Mishnah says the Hadassim and the Aravis have to be 3 tefachim tall, minimum of 3 tefachim tall. And the Hadas has to be, Ruba should be Meshulosh. You don't need that, it should be Meshulosh Kulo, all the 3 tefachim. If you have 2 tefachim, 2 out of the 3, Raiva of what you have is Meshuloshim, so it's also good. It's Kulo Meshulosh, that's wonderful. But sometimes hard to get Kulo Meshulosh. And then the lulav has to be a minimum of 4 tefachim. The lulav has to be a tefach taller than the hadasim and the arovas. And in fact, in the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, he quotes the Ran on the Rif, commenting on that Gemara. If you tie the hadasim and arovas to the lulav, let's say, a tefach above the bottom of the lulav. You don't tighten in such a way that the hadassim and the rabbis and the lulav all end together. The lulav ends over here by the table, and you put the hadassim and the rabbis 4 inches above that. So then the shedra of the lulav has to protrude a tefach above the top of the hadassim. The hadassim have to be higher than the rabbis that they have from Rashi. Rashi is quoted in a Tshuvas Rashi. Rashi says, if the Arabis are higher than the Hadassim, you're not Yotze. It's a very difficult. How in the world can he make up such a, from thin air? Where does it say that? No one understands where the Hadassim, Rashi come to such an idea, but that's, you should be machma on that. Usually that's the case, because the Arabis are taller than the Hadassim. So if you put them all in, the Arabis are going to be a few inches above. The top of the Arabis is going to be higher than the Hadassim. So you should lower the arabas or snip off the bottom of the arabas. You shouldn't snip off the top. If you snip off the top of the arabas and hadasim, that's a machloikas hatanoim. Niktam rosha. Hadasim, that's niktam rosha, the machloikas hatanoim. But it's kosher apostle. And you have to arrange it in such a way that the shedra of the lulav. Shedra of the lulav means the thick part. On the top of the lulav, there's no more shedra. The shedra disappears a couple of inches from the top. The shedra of the lulav has to extend of one tefach, a whole tefach, is like this, salat. A tefach above the top of the hadassim, which should be slightly, at least slightly above, the top of the arovas. And the hadassim and arovas have to be 3 tefachim tall. Then, yeah, why do you need that it should extend above, the shedra of the lulav should extend the tefach above to be able to do nanua, to be able to shake it, and the nanua should be noticeable in the lulav. Either nanuim anat miyakev, the Gemara says, meragbe nofikbe, if you picked it up, even if you didn't shake it, you're yotze. So you see from the Gemara, but lahatchila deraisa, you need nanua. Otherwise, why would it be possible? But yevid, if it's not a tefach above, so you see, you need royally nanua. What exactly does it mean, nanua? So the different traditions, and you look in Shulchan Aruch, they have different opinions from the early days of the early Achronim. Some say, Tosfos says, nanuim is based on the pasuk, Ozir Adonai Kol Hatzayor, Lasid Lovim, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be recognized as the king of the whole world, Malchius, that's the theme of Aseres Mei Tshuva, Malchius. So we say, Ozir Adonai Kol Hatzayor, all the trees will be dancing. So if Nanuim means to dance, is to symbolize the time of Malchus HaKadosh Baruch will be accepted, trees will be dancing, so then it means to shake it. And others say no, that Nanuim means the trees will be bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch. So it's not really shaking the lulav, it's waving the lulav back and forth, representative of the fact that all of the trees will be bowing down to HaKadosh Baruch. So the common meaning is that you do both. The common meaning is that you put the lulav, let's say, in front of you, so you stretch it out, and then you shake it. You take it back and you shake it. You do both. You have it. You wave it, and you shake it. You do both. Others only do the bowing. They don't shake it. They just wave the lulav back and forth. I remember Rav Soloveitchik did like that. That was his family tradition. He just wave the lulav and you don't shake it. But in Shulchan Aruch, they recommend it. I say, Kalim recommend you should do both because of the different opinions. If a person's going to shake lulav in the middle of Shemana Esrei, Pashtus says that's going to be a hefsek because the lulav doesn't belong. Middle of Shemana Esrei. But if to shake the lulav in the middle of Hala, that's where it belongs. So that's not considered a hefsek. On the first day of Sukkot, the Gemara says, you need shalachem. Lachachtam lachem b'yom harishon. Lachem means shalachem. It should belong to you. Do you say Sveka Diyoma? Then on the second day also you need Shalachem. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Ritva that's a machlokes harishayna. It's interesting. Why should there not be a din Sveka Diyoma? It's interesting. So Rav Soloveitchik explained the historical explanation. I don't think the Ritva gives any explanation. But he explained historically the Takana of Yantav Sheni was introduced, the Takana that we follow, was introduced in the days of Hillel HaSheni. Days of the Amoraim, when they instituted the calendar, the Luach Kavua. So we know centuries in advance when Yom Tov is going to be, what day in the week is going to be, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, and so on. So the Shaila was brought up, should we still continue to observe Yom Tov Shenu Shel God? There's no real Sveka de Yoima. So they sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, Shalcha Mitam, They sent a message from Eretz Yisrael, the Book of Gemara, in the beginning of Beitzeh. Yizor b'minig avsechem yadech. So we follow, we still observe Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias based on that takana. That was a takana that was made, in the days of the Amoraim, late into the days of the Amoraim, when he instituted the Luach. That was during the lifetime of Abai Verova. Abai Verova lived before the takana was made, and then during their lifetime the takana was made. Their counterparts in Eretz Yisrael were the ones who were bekaveh the Luach. Abai Verova lived in Babel, so they couldn't do kviyas haluach. So by the time they made the takana of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, there was already an earlier takana after the Churban Bayis Sheni. Rabbi Chaim Zakkai's Bezdin made 9 takanas. One of the 9 takanas was that we should shake the lulav all 7 days of Sukkah Zechel Amigdash. Min HaTorah, you only shake the lulav v'smachtem lifnei Hashem alakechem shivas yamim. Only the Beis Amigdash. Lulav nitol b'amigdash kol shiva. B'amdina yem echot. Chutz le'beis Amigdash, you only shake the lulav the first day of Sukkahs, and in the Beis Hamikdash, you shake the lulav all 7 days min haTorah. And chutz le'beis Hamikdash, you only shake the lulav on the first day. So by the time they made this takana, hizor b'minig avsech meidechem, they're already shaking lulav all 7 days anyway, because of takana shabdechem and zakah that was right after the Churban Bayis Sheni. They saw it's going to be a long, long time till the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt. Some of them thought the Beis Hamikdash is going to be rebuilt 70 years later. Rabbi Akiva thought that Bakoichva, Merit Bar Kochva was 70 years after the Churban Bayis Sheni. So Rabbi Akiva thought, based on his reading of Psukim, that just like there was a 70-year gap in between Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni, there'll be a 70-year gap in between the Bayis Sheni and Bayis Shlishi. But it didn't happen like that. 70 years is also a long time. So Rabbi Yechman Zaka made a takana, the people will, in 70 years, it turns out it's almost 2,000 years. But even if it's like Rabbi Akiva, even if it's going to be 70 years, they'll forget that such a din existed. It's not really explicit in the Chumash that the Torah Shabbat Peh interprets. Lukachtem lechem al yod merishim pri etzod, u'smachtem lifnei Hashem alkechem shivas yamim. The way to celebrate to smachtem shivas yamim is by netilas lulav kol shila. That's a drush of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So Rabbi Chaim Zakka was afraid the whole din will be forgotten when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt in another 70 years, another 2,000 years. Still hasn't been rebuilt. So he introduced kedei shelo tishtakach mitzvos dalan minim, that Balulam Nita Bamigdash called Shiva, so he made the takana. So by the time they made the takana to observe Yom Tov Sheni, everybody was shaking lulav all 7 days anyway. So that's the question in the Rishon. Does it make sense that they should require Shalachem on Yom Tov Sheni? We're shaking the lulav even without your takana of Yom Tov Sheni. We're shaking lulav the second day, the third day, the fourth day, through Hashanah Rabbah, we're going to shake a lulav. So they should make a takana. No, but you should shake it, should be Shalachem. Is that there wasn't any need for the takana should be shalachem. They're shaking a lulav anyway. So that was the opinion then. The accepted opinion, Shulchan Aruch Beferish, is that you do need shalachem. On both days of Sukkot, you do need shalachem. Even though Ben Kovako was shaking the lulav. The Mishnah Berurah quotes that from the Bikur Yankif, from the Sefer Barab Yankif Ettlinger, who points out that the Shulchan Aruch took a stand. The Ritva had a machlokes about this. Is there a din of Yom Tov Sheni that you need shalachem or not? Because Ben Kovako, you're shaking a lulav all 7 days. So why should you be machman the second day more than the other 6 days? And he points out the Shulchan Aruch paskens lechumra. It's interesting. The Bikur Yankar, the first sefer that he put out, he pointed out the chiddush, and now it's everybody in Yerushalayim knows the chiddush. He says the Rambam and the Pirush HaMishnayis and the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam doesn't say. In the Pirush HaMishnayis, the Rambam quotes a comment from the Talmud Yerushalmi that lulav nitol b'amigdash kol shiva migdash doesn't only apply to inside the Beis HaMikdash, it applies to the whole Ir Atika, because the whole old city has the status of Beis HaMikdash for the purpose of eating Korban Pesach, for eating Kachim Kalim, for eating Maaseh Sheni. The whole Ir Atika has the status like us, even though we're not in the Beis HaMikdash. Let's say the people who, a lot of people live in the Rova, they live in the old city. Or people go to Daven by the Kosel HaMaarovi. So there's, so the Bikur Yankar points out, if you put together the Rambam's opinion and the Mishnah Torah, that Kedushas HaMikdash is Kitcha Losi Lovoi, the Raiva disagrees, but the Rambam holds that Kedushas HaMikdash and Kedushas Yerushalayim is Kitcha Losi Lovoi. And the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, this he doesn't write in the Mishnah Torah, Pirush HaMishnayos, he quotes the Pirush of the Talmud Yerushalmi, Lulav Nito Ba Migdush Kol Shiva Min HaTorah, goes not only on Migdush, it goes on the whole Ir Atika. So you put the two together, it comes that there's a mitzvah in HaTorah to shake a lulav all 7 days in the Ir Atika. So let's say a person already daven shachris and bite the gan or in Tel Aviv, and then he comes to visit the Kosel HaMaravi. One day they have duchening and chalamoy, the Pesach, chalamoy tzukah, so hundreds of people come. So you're ready, shukalulav in Tel Aviv, but then you come to the duchening, the big duchening, then you come to the rova, you come to the Kosel HaMaravi. So according to one opinion, you have to shake lulav again, and according to some, you need shalachem. A lot of times someone will go chalamoy tzukah to the Kosel HaMaravi, so someone will ask you, you want to shake, you didn't bench esrog yet. They say, they'll give it to you, matan manas lahachse. What do you need, matan manas lahachse? You don't need shalachem. Only the first day you need shalachem. And chutz lo, it's the second day you need shalachem. What do you need, achalamay? So that's a machloik, it's Tosfos in the Ramban. This din deraisa, lulav nital b'migdush, kol shiva, doesn't mean the mitzvah of netilas, lulav applies all 7 days in each shalachem. That's Tosfos shita. When lulav is deraisa in migdush, all 7 days in each shalachem, all 7 days. And the Ramban and the Mohammeds, the beginning of Lulav, also disagree. He says, no, you just need the Chevtz of the Lulav. But it's not the mitzvah of a Lakachtim, it's the mitzvah of a Smachtim. For the mitzvah of a Smachtim, Shivas Yam, you don't need Shalachem. But there, when you go to the Kosel HaMaravi, Chalamoy Tzukah, anywhere in the year Atika, Nirova, they'll ask you, do you want to shake a Lulav? I'll give it to you, Matal Manas Lachsa. So they think they're off their mind. What do you need a Matal Manas Lachsa on the last days of Sukkot, on the last days of Chalamoy there? The answer is to be choshish for shita satosus.
Would you make another bracha?
No, you wouldn't say a bracha because the Bikur Yankov said the writer disagrees with the Rama Makit Shalosi Lava. He holds Loikit Shalosi Lava. And the Rama himself doesn't quote what he wrote in the Pirush HaMishnayos. He doesn't quote it in the Mishnah Torah. There he says, Miglish is Miglish. He doesn't say the Holy Ratika has a din of Miglish. So the whole thing is a Chiddush on top of a Chiddush based on a combination of two Rambams. Each of which is very questionable, so you don't say a bracha on that. You don't say a bracha. You have to get an esrog that's not a murkav. All the poskim say esrog a murkav is no good. Shalas esrog a murkav, why is it no good? So the he used to be a big tzaddik in Eretz Yisrael. He passed away in the early 1900s. The Sovik Kadisha Alafandri, I think his name was. I think it was over 100 when he died. He's a holy tzaddik, so he wrote a whole sefer. Someone showed me and said he wrote a whole sefer. The Iker Adin Deraisa lemon is good. It's only a chumim with the rabbanon that you need an esreg and a murkav is only a psul de rabban. His opinion has not been accepted. We assume a lemon is no good ben atoira. The Chazon Ish thinks that it's not kilayim. If you blend together a lemon, he thinks that all citrus fruits maybe are considered one min for kilayim purposes. Thinks there's no iser kilai ha'ilon, harkovas ilon. As he thinks maybe there's no iser, but that was a tradition. You need dav kapri etzor. There has to be dav ken esrog. It can't be a lemon. So an esrog gamurkov. That's a question. Why is it no good? So the Yorlach Reinim all said it's no good. Came up with the reason that it's a mitzvah bo baver. Because someone violated harkova, because the esrog tree doesn't grow so well. So if you graft it. They don't graft it with a lemon tree. They graft it with an elon srak, with a tree that doesn't bear any fruits at all. But it makes it grow faster. It'll grow stronger if you graft it with an elon srak. But that's also nisa harkovas elon. So that's the original reason that they gave, was that it's a mitzvah bo baavera. And even though the harkovas elon was done by non-Jew, the Shach and Yerodeh points out that the Rambam writes that even b'nei noach hamuzah not to do harkovas elon. That's an Issa. The Beis Ephraim has a whole tshuva, and he explains it's not a mitzvah b'avera. He explains that it's all wrong. He thinks it's no good for a different reason. That is the wrong min. It has to be davka and esrog. And if you make a harkova, esrog with a lemon, or esrog with a you graft it with an ilan srak, so it's not purely an esrog tree. It has to be davka esrog. So whenever you buy srogim from Eretz Yisrael, they always say it's vadai bilti murkov. Everybody out there, vadai birkin murkov. So around 20 years ago, the Israeli government advertised, let it be known, that they check it into it, and they know exactly how many esrogim avadai built in Merkovim, And over the world, they're selling five times as many Vaday built in Merkavim that exist, according to the best of their information. So you gotta make sure that you get a built-in Merkav. You have to get from a person who's reliable, not from a faker. Arovas lechatchila should grow by a river, Arve Nachal. I'm surprised no one made a racket out of that yet. They should charge you five times as much. We have arovas that grew by a river. Lechatchila, it's a Gemara and Sukkah. The gangsters didn't catch on to the Gemara yet. It's a Gemara. Lechatchila should be grow by a river. Hadasim have to be mushaloshim. Okay. We assume that there's no issa baltesid if you have more than three hadasim. It's not a bad idea to buy as extra and put them all in. So in case some of the leaves fall off on one of them and it becomes puzzle, so you have five or six. It'll cost you a few more dollars. Same thing with arabis. Put in a few extra arabis also. We assume there's no baltesid if you have extra arabis. So even if some of the leaves fall off of one of them, so you have as long as you have two of them that are kosher. The fact that you have four or five and two are not kosher, or three are not kosher, doesn't puzzle the other two that are kosher.
Do you remove, if one or two become puzzle, should you remove them?
You should, but if you remove it, you may rip off the leaves of the other ones. It's best to leave it the way it is. It doesn't puzzle. The Rambam said there's no baltesiv, and the fact that there's a puzzle one doesn't puzzle the others. Okay, everyone should have a good yantif.
Why is there no baltesiv?
Some of you should have heard there is about this.